May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, holy and loving God. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated.
I know it's a little breezy, but I kind of love that breeze coming through here. It's one of the great things about being in a place like this. You feel the wild, you feel the spirit at work. So with the little paper blowing around, we can put up with it. I'm grateful to be here with you all. Back in 2008, just before I started seminary, I spent 6 months traveling around the world, investigating the major world religions in their context. It was an incredible trip. I went to India and spent some time in an ashram in southern India, in Cochin. I spent some time in Varanasi, participating in immolation rituals. I went to Mali to trek through the Dogon and I rode camels with the Tuareg north of Timbuktu. I did an ice climb in the Khumbu region in Nepal, and I hiked one of the five Taoist sacred mountains in China. And of course, amidst all of that, I spent some time in the Holy Land. Not this Holy Land, but Israel and Palestine. One of the coolest things I did while I was there was I spent the night in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Are you guys familiar with this? This is the church that's built over Golgotha and Jesus' burial site. A fellow traveler let me in on this secret. He said that there are monks who will arrange for you to stay the night in the church. The only trick is that you have to stay awake all night long. It's like, okay, I'll give that a shot. So I came back at sunset. And just as they were starting to close, they had this big ritual in which they closed the doors, which were way bigger than this building. Gigantic doors come sliding, and they close them, and then they slide this big wooden thing. It takes several of these British monks up to all lift and slide across the barricade to close the door. But once they close that door, you are in there. You're not going anywhere. So they close the door. All right, what am I doing now? I went and spent a little time praying right by the sepulcher, and then I went and explored all the little chambers, all the small little rooms, all the beautiful art that they have in this space that it was built over a hill. It's an incredible spot. Over time, I got a little tired, and I moved back over to the sepulcher, and while I was there in meditation, every hour, different monks from all around the world would come in and have their time in which they chanted and had a service keeping watch over the sepulcher through the night. And it was beautiful. These guys would come down these stairs from all who knows where, and they had the incense waving through the room. It smelled and looked and was just absolutely incredible. But by about 2 or 3 in the morning, I was getting pretty tired. And I decided I would break out my secret weapon. I had a candle that I bought there at the church, and I put it down, and I knelt down and meditated on this candle, watching the candle burn so slowly. As I was there, all of my energy was focused on this flame. Everything I had, all my being was focused on it. And while I was there in deep concentration, somebody came out of nowhere and blew out my candle. I could not believe it. I was totally shocked. I did not hear him coming up. It was this Russian Orthodox monk, and he was very upset. He blew it out and said, "Too much smoke." I don't know what kind of rule he thought I was breaking, but it sent me back. It kind of made me not want to be a part of anything that was going on there. And that happens, right? That happens. So often religious people blow out the light, blow out the divine light, the light that they should protect. Religious people, particularly religious professionals like me, do a lot of damage. Accidentally, with the best of intentions, we become gatekeepers. We keep people from the divine. Sometimes we do that because we become legalistic, sometimes we're short-sighted or selfish, but often we miss the forest for the trees. Such is the case with the leader of the synagogue in the gospel today. This guy is
furious because Jesus heals a woman on the Sabbath. Mind you, the Sabbath is very important. In our culture, we have lost this notion, this importance of Sabbath, this notion of rest, be it turning off your cell phones or just finding a time to restore during the week. Not many of us take that time, a time for rest, a time for restoration, a time for connection with God. Historically, the Sabbath is also a time for justice, a rest for the poor and weary, folks that would be worked to the bone all of their life if some would let them. Sabbath is a time when we say, we have enough. God is enough. That is the justice and generosity pouring out of this passage from Isaiah. Do you hear Isaiah talking about the Sabbath? Do you see how he links it to justice? Offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted. Then your light shall rise in the darkness. The Lord will guide you continually, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. That rich notion of Sabbath is lost on the leader of the synagogue. His piety nearly impedes God's healing. This woman had been sick for 18 years. She was unable to stand upright. Despite her ailments, the leader of the synagogue says, "Not now. Not now. Now is not the time for your healing. Now is not the time for you to stand up straight." How many women have heard that phrase, "not now"? Not now to those who seek wage equality. Not now to the 19 million people who have used the hashtag MeToo. Not now to those who remind us that only 39% of girls worldwide attend secondary school. Women throughout history are very familiar with the phrase, "not now." But Jesus works in the now. He knows that the time is now. He sees this woman, he is present to her, and he heals her. He not only heals her physically, but restores her spiritually. He calls her daughter of Abraham. "You are daughter of Abraham, an exemplar of the faith, a child of God." In that act, Jesus restores her dignity. In just a moment, we're going to baptize two beautiful little kiddos, the Christopher kids, and we will all repeat the baptismal covenant in which we say, we vow to respect the dignity of every human being. Every human being is a child of God. Every human being has that divine light. We are called to foster that light in one another and in ourselves. I find that in places like this, places of immense beauty, places where the grandeur of time folds before us in the stories of the rock, places where we see our fragility and our resilience, a place where the divine light is fueled by nature's immediacy, I feel that light burning in me, and I see it in others. I see it in children, and I see it in all children. Here in this space, we are called back to the divine brilliance. As the Wyoming Eucharistic prayer reminds us, we see that divine brilliance reflected in each other's faces. Like Jesus with the suffering woman, we are empowered to see each other and respect the dignity of every human being. That divine light. Here and now. Amen.
Amen.